Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'd like to read it one more time with you. Again, you go along quietly and I'll read a wonderful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's people said. During World War II, there was a Christian young man. He was from New Orleans who was on board ship. He was the wireless operator on that ship. He had pulled his duty all night. When he was getting off early that morning, he wanted to get a little bit of time before he went to bed. He wanted to get a little bit of time to have his devotions, to pray and read his Bible. Just before he got off the wireless, he decided, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tap out the Lord's Prayer and see if I can get any ships to respond. So he did. Across the ocean where he was at, he started tapping out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." By the time he got to the end, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," 16 ships responded, "Amen." That's the kind of psalm that this is. We're going to be focusing this morning on just the first part of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's our God. When it comes to this phrase, Spurgeon had some wonderful, wonderful words. He said, "What are these green pastures but the Scriptures of truth? Always fresh, always rich, and never exhausted. There is no fear of biting the bare ground where the grass is long enough for the flock to lie down in it. Sweet and full are the doctrines of the gospel. Fit food for souls, as tender grass is natural nutriment for sheep. When by faith we are enabled to find rest in the promises, we're like the sheep that lie down in the midst of the pasture. We find at the same moment both provender and peace, rest and refreshment, serenity and satisfaction. But observe, He maketh me to lie down. It is the Lord who graciously enables us to perceive the preciousness of His truth and to feed upon it. How grateful ought we to be for the power to appropriate the promises." Think of that. The power to appropriate the promises. There are some distracted souls who would give worlds if they could but do this. They know the blessedness of it, but they cannot say that this blessedness is theirs. They know the green pastures, but they're not made to lie down in them. Those believers who have for years enjoyed a full assurance of faith should greatly bless their gracious God. I want you to think of that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what we have? We have a loving God. Don't you praise God for that? I'm serious. I want you, please, as much as lies in you, by God's grace, I really would love to have your attention this morning. For you believers, for people that know Christ as Savior, this is important. In the times ahead, we need this, as I hope and pray that you'll see. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We have a loving God. Unfortunately, there are believers that don't know that as much as they should. We have a gracious God. He gives grace. He is more than enough for us. We have a merciful God. But we also have this. We have a sovereign God. Now think about that. What in the world does it mean to have a sovereign God? The Scripture is specific. We have a God that is in control. Like somebody has said, large and in charge. I want to read you something, if I can please. Jerry Bridges, in his book, Trusting God, wrote this. God rules as surely on earth as He does in heaven. He permits, for reasons known only to Himself, people to act contrary to and in defiance of His revealed will. For instance, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't desire anybody. He doesn't will anybody to hell. He doesn't do that. His revealed will is this. He draws, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's His revealed will. And He allows people to go contrary to that. They will repulse Him. They will resist Him. But, He goes on to say this, but He never permits them to act contrary to His sovereign will. What does that mean? Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7:13. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? Are you getting the idea? Listen, Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, he said this in Lamentations 3:37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? In the New Testament, James told us this, James 4:15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, we have to understand something. God indeed is in control. Well, why does God allow certain things to happen? That's for another message. I just know this. My God is loving, my God is caring, and my God, through Christ, died for you and for me. Rose again, and now we have salvation. Let's remember that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, that is true. He that hath the key of David, watch for it. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, he shutteth, and no man openeth. That is our God. He's sovereign. When we think of a God that is so in love with us, who is so in control, and does all things for our good, Romans 8:28, we know the passage. We understand this. Then we can rest. That's how He makes us to lie down. We can rest in the green pastures of Scripture that tell us, young and old, man or woman, boy or girl, God has you in the palm of His hand. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, He will allow things to come into your life that maybe are difficult, but He does it for your good. He is seeking to draw you to Himself and to grow you. Look at the situation, for instance, that we have right now in our nation. I've just gotten this last week where I'm tired of listening to the radio. I'm tired of listening to politics. I just soon set my sights on the Lord Jesus Christ because He is sovereign. Now listen to this. This was written by Alexander Carson well over 100 years ago. He makes an interesting statement when it comes to the sovereignty of God if God is dealing with a nation. Quote, "Why does folly often prevail over wisdom in the councils of princes and in the houses of legislators? God has appointed the rejection of good counsel in order to bring on nations that vengeance that their crimes call down from heaven. God rules the world by providence, not by miracle. See that grave senator? He rises and pours forth wisdom. But if God has determined to punish the nation, some prating speculatist will impose his sophisms on the most sagacious assembly." In other words, you can have the wisest man in Washington, D.C. stand up and say, now this is what is best for America. But if America is still thumbing its nose against God and has not recognized the judgment, be sure your sin will find you out. They will wind up as a nation, America will wind up as a nation, listening to somebody who's trying to sell them trinkets and bring them to doom. This is why the most important thing that goes on in America is not what takes place in the Capitol. It's not what takes place in Sacramento. The most important thing is what takes place with people that know Jesus Christ. And they will come and they will plead for a nation. That is what is most important. Because that's where it starts. Let judgment begin in the house of God. And that's why we're here in Psalm 23. Preacher, I don't understand. Wait a minute. The most important thing about you is what you know about God. You take out a picture. I've got a picture of my 3 kids on my desk. There they are. Love them all dearly. You have in the wallet of your heart a picture, as it were, of God. Now, that picture you put together says something about what you think of when you think of God. One of the most precious places to go to rebuild, to grow, to lift up, to mature, to strengthen that picture that you have of God in your heart is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not the Lord is my policeman. The Lord is my peevish God. He's the loving chief shepherd. So we continue in the care of the shepherd. And we come here to the first part of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller, and I'm going to borrow heavily from him on this because it's so good. Philip Keller, who wrote A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and if you don't have that book, it's hard to get, but if you can get it, get it. He who was a shepherd in South Africa, out on the coast there, he wrote this. There are four requirements to make the sheep settle down and rest. Four requirements. One, the sheep need to be free from all fear. Two, they need to be free from friction with their own kind. Three, they must be free from the torment of pests, parasites, flies, stuff like that. And then four, they must be free from the need for finding food. Keller says if these four things are met, the sheep will rest. If not, they can't. Now you say, well, you know, that's nice for sheep, but what about us? Do you realize that there are more people in America that are popping pills for anxiety than any other place in the world? America is not a nation at rest. And sadly, there are Christians that are the very same way. We need to be at rest. For instance, fear. Sheep are fearful, easily frightened. An agitated flock never does well. You get a stray jackrabbit or a dog come through, they're running wild, they're gone everywhere. Because that's the only defense that they have. All they can do is run. As long as there's any hint of danger, they'll always be at a moment's notice ready to flee. Until the shepherd enters. And when the shepherd comes, with the presence of the shepherd, the sheep settle down. They settle down. This is why it's important to have the right picture of God in your wallet. Because He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, lo, I am with you always. And that word lo is in the emphatic. For the believer, He will always be with you. See, we live in an uncertain time. You know, there's noise going on all over the place. People fear the unknown, and Christians can be caught up in that. But yet we're told, I will fear no evil. Why? Because of the presence of the shepherd. Even to the point of this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My wife and I were standing on top of the structure that was built in pretty much the very close to the spot where the building was where Christ and His disciples had the Last Supper. We were gazing out, if you can imagine this, gazing out across the valley, and we were looking where Christ had spent His last hours there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But do you know that valley that goes on, there's the Garden of Gethsemane, up here is the Mount of Olives, and it traces on, and it's a deep valley going this way, and behind us over here is the temple. That valley that goes through there is known as the Valley of Death. That's what David had in mind. Why was it the Valley of Death? Robbers, wild animals. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That is someone at rest. Again, something that a shepherd will tell you. His presence brings great comfort to his sheep because sheep cannot protect themselves, and neither can people. Is there anybody in this building right now? Is there anybody that's here? You can control the circumstances of your life tomorrow. You can't. You cannot control. If you want to find out just how bad your power is, try to get a cat to come inside the house or tell a cat to go outside. I mean, you know, now with a dog, you know the old familiar saying, you know, to a dog, your family, to a cat, your staff. When it comes to a cat, forget it. When it comes to these things, we stop and think of what we're up against. The wages of sin, the attacks of the devil, uncertainties, unknowns, unexpected upsets. My heart breaks for my friend Johnny Krausen right now. There in the hospital in Utah, simply waiting for his wife to die. He has no control over that. He can't heal her. He's prayed, though. And he knows the Lord is there. That's what brings people to rest. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen, we have the greatest military on earth. I don't trust them. Because God can take away their advantage at any time He wants. I praise God for them. I praise the Lord for those that are serving there. But if God willed it to have our military overrun, He could do it. He could do it. David knew better through the revelation of God's Spirit. Listen, Psalm 32:7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That's our God. Psalm 27, verse 5, For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now understand this. This is David, the mighty man of valor. He was such a warrior. He's trusting God. He's trusting God. Psalm 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. So the question comes, who are you seeking? See, again, we don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. We don't trust in Wall Street. We don't trust on our own street. We trust in God. That is our freedom from fear. This is why Paul could tell Timothy, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound or disciplined mind. Stop. Think. Who do we trust? We trust God. That's why David could say in Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. That is freedom from fear. The next one, freedom from friction. Freedom from friction from other sheep. There's a rivalry that causes tension within a flock, Keller would say. There, one dominant ewe becomes boss of the flock by butting and shoving the others and so forth. Other sheep wind up coming along and they catch that and they try to maintain their position. A pecking order winds up happening. Rivalry, self-assertion in a flock. And because of that, sheep can't rest. And so what do they wind up doing? They wind up standing, always defending themselves. They can't lay down. When there is friction, until the shepherd comes, and the sheep understand there's one that's in charge. And that's the shepherd. When the presence of the shepherd comes, it makes all the difference. You look at the world out there, it's no longer a thing of people keeping up with the Joneses. They're trying to keep up with everybody. And that's why we wind up having situations where people will overextend themselves trying to purchase things. You know, you can have it in the office, you can have it in the place you work, you can have it in your church even. We always want to be the top sheep. Folks, the local New Testament church is not about us. It's about Him. And it's about doing His work. You stop and consider Him. When we come again to this idea of a pecking order, lay it aside. John found that in 3 John 9. He said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he took care of this pretty well. He said, wait a minute, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, you know, I hear this taking place in the church. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, you know, I am of Christ. Wait a minute, back the truck up. Who died for you? Well, Christ did. Exactly. Who lives for you? Well, Christ does. Exactly. That is what we need to get across. And by the way, Faith Baptist, that's what we always need to guard against. We're not about this college. We're not about that person. We're not about the pastor. We're not about anybody but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is where we wind up resting. There is no friction there. With the sheep, there was a definite time when the infighting would end. It was when the shepherd came. See, that's why, stop and think about this. Alright, ready? Now, I'm up here in the pulpit. God's Word is open. We're looking at Psalm 23, right? Who is here that is seeking to teach us this? Not the pastor. The pastor is just the tool. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and Christ is here. And He's saying, now remember, I am the shepherd. He tells us that in John 10. Because He wants it so when you walk out the door, you are continuing with this thought, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, I shall not want. And He goes on through the rest of the psalm telling how He shall not want. My heart is burdened for Christians that somehow will give just occasional thought to the Lord. You know, they'll tip their hat to Him every once in a while. But then they wind up going and thinking that they can be in charge of their life. They can take care of circumstances tomorrow, and yet when the circumstances go south, one of two things happen. Either they will come back to the church and get right with God, or they'll get bitter towards God. Folks, these things ought not so to be. He is either the chief shepherd, or let's sell the property and leave. Let's close it up. Let's get rid of the Bibles because it's not true. I'm sorry, it's true. And I'm not sorry for it for that matter. Because the Lord indeed is my shepherd. This was the attitude of Christ when He was here on earth. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the attitude that in a church keeps friction away. The attitude in the body of Christ should be what Paul again told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So, there's freedom from fear, freedom from friction, if He comes. Thirdly, freedom from aggravation, from pests, nasal flies, bot flies, warble flies, ticks. You wind up, you see this with cattle. You know, that tail on the cattle is going all the time. They can't lay down and rest. They'll shake their heads. They'll try to do whatever they can. They'll run. They'll get in shade. Anything to get away from the pest. And then the shepherd comes. And he applies the ointment. And he applies the oil. He puts them in a dip. And it takes care of those pests. And see, that's what the Lord comes along with. You might have a situation in your life where there's a pest. And it might not be a person, it can be a situation. If we would just humble ourselves before God. And humbling is the opposite of worry, like we're talking about in Sunday school. You know, when you're worrying, you know what you're doing? You're telling God, you can't take care of this. I've got to figure out a way to take care of it myself. That's what worry is. That's you trying to take care of the pest. Listen. Here's someone, and they're having a difficult time with somebody else. This is man's way of taking care of the thing. I've got to get away from that person. Be it a place on the job, be it marriage, whatever. What's God's will? What's God's way? Lord, I humble myself before you. Use me in any way, shape, matter, form to glorify you in this situation. I thank you for the power that you give. That's the shepherd being allowed to take care of the situation. That's him. Go to Romans chapter 7, if you would, please. Here's another situation. Go to verse 15. Now, this is not a person, and in a way, this is not a situation. This is us. Watch this. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. You read this passage fast, you will break your tongue. I guarantee you. Now what is it that Paul is talking about here? He's got a pest. You know what the pest is? Himself. You know, there's a real desire. He honestly wants to do what's right. Now for the Christian, or the professing Christian, that doesn't really have that much of a desire to do the right thing, they won't understand this. But to the person that really wants to serve God, he winds up dealing with himself. He realizes, you know, I just can't do this. You know, I want to do right. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the shepherd. And we wind up reading, and we won't take the time right now, but we wind up reading in Romans 8 the ability that the shepherd has, Jesus Christ, in helping us, delivering us from our own works, and now we have the Spirit working through us. That is the key. And that's what we look for. The answer when it comes to that kind of pest situation is Romans chapter 8. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, freedom from hunger. Freedom from hunger. The places where the sheep were raised in Israel were dry, barren lands. It was really difficult to find a good pasture land because there was a lack of irrigation. It took work. It took work clearing out rocks, planting, bringing in, fertilizer, plowing it, et cetera, irrigating. Just to try to get the sheep a place to feed like this. Sheep will not lie down if they are hungry. Our shepherd provides for us. Go to Psalm 37, if you would please. Psalm 37. And watch this. Look at verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Now who is the chief shepherd? The Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. You will be at home. Watch this. And verily thou shalt be what? Fed. Look at the next verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is why we're taught in the Lord's Prayer to pray this, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord said, you've got it. This is why this is so important. Listen, everybody has a hunger. Everybody has a hunger. All right, so here's a Christian. The Lord knows you that this Christian, has needs. Now, over here is the devil. And he has anything and everything that he can get to fill that hunger. For instance, there's entertainment. As long as we can keep the mind going, one thing after another, after another, after another, another show, another program, another movie, another this, another that, you know, keep going after it. The Christian, along with the rest of the world, forgets that the hunger that they have can only be filled by one person. You have, like we have told people in giving the gospel, you've got a God-sized hole in your heart. And only God fills that. So here's the believer, here's Satan, and here's the Lord over here saying, listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? He maketh me to lie down, rest in green pastures. If the believer has the wherewithal, is thinking, hey, the world doesn't satisfy, that's why I came to Christ for salvation. If they don't satisfy for salvation, they satisfy for nothing else. I will look to the Lord. And I'll realize this, He's the one that gives me rest. That is your shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now this is what we've got to think about and then we're done. What have I been going after in the last week? To satisfy. What is it that I have sought to content my heart with in the last month? Since the beginning of the year? I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many people in here, the first of the year, you decided, I'm going to start reading my Bible. And so sure enough, there's where you were. January 1st, you're reading your Bible. January 2nd, you're reading your Bible. And then things get a little bit tough. You know why you have a difficult time truly giving yourself daily to the Word of God? The Lord might be your Savior, but He's not your shepherd. You're digging through the fence to go on the other side. You're looking for a hireling, someone that has promised you so much, but they fail. You see what I mean? If the Lord indeed is your shepherd, then you can look forward to rest, because He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. What was it that Spurgeon said was those green pastures? The Scripture. If you're not finding comfort in the Word of God and His promises and all those things, He might be your Savior, but you're still looking for a shepherd. You need to make Jesus Christ your shepherd. Amen? Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we would only be honest with ourselves in these times, I pray that we would. What does it take, Lord, before we recognize that behind what the world has been feeding us is the wicked one? Evolution. Humanism. Vanity Fair. Stuff. Things. All that to keep us off of looking to the chief shepherd. Lord, I pray for these dear folks here that we would stop and realize that we will truly rest when we truly make you our shepherd. With every head bowed and every eye closed,